Shloke
Bhakti
Bhavati
Naishtuki.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Puranjan Becomes a Woman in His Next Life. Text number 34.
Hitva
Grehan
Sutan
Bhogan
Vaidarbhe
Madirekshana Anvadavata Pantyesham Jyotsnaiva Rajani Karam Hitva grahan sutan bhogan Vaidarbhe madhyarekshana Anvadavata pancesham Jyotsnaiva rajanikaram Hitva grihan sutan bhogan Vaidarbhe madhyarekshana Anvadavata panjesham Jyotsnaiva rajanikaram Hitva grihan sutan bhogan Vaidarbhe madhyarekshana Anvadavata panjesham Jyotsnaiva rajanikaram
Hitva grihan sutan bhogan Vaidarbhe madhyarekshana Anvadavata pandesham Jyotsnaiva rajanikaram
Hitva
grihan sutan bhogan Vaidarbhe madhyarekshana Anvadavata pandesham Jyotsnaiva rajanikaram Hitva grihan sutan bhogan Vaidarbhe madhyarekshana Anvadavata pandesham Jyotsnaiva rajanikaram
Hitva giving up Grehan home Sutam children Bhogan material happiness Vaidarbhe, the daughter of King Vidarbha Madhira Ekshana, with enchanting eyes, Anvadavata, followed, Pandya Isham, King Malayadvaja.
King Malayadvaja.
Jyotsna,
Jyotsna
Deva,
Deva,
like the moonshine.
Like the moonshine.
Rajani Karam,
Rajani Karam,
the moon.
The moon.
Translation. Just as the moonshine follows the moon at night, immediately after King Malayadvaja departed for Kulachala, his devoted wife, whose eyes were very enchanting, followed him, giving up all homely happiness, despite family and children. Please repeat. As the moonshine follows the moon.
As the moonshine follows the moon.
At night.
At night.
Immediately after King Malayadvaja departed.
Immediately after King Malayadvaja departed.
For Kulachala.
For Kulachala.
His devoted wife.
His devoted wife.
Whose eyes were very enchanting.
Whose eyes were very enchanting.
Followed him,
follow him,
giving up all homely happiness,
giving up all homely happiness,
despite family and children.
Despite family and children.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Just as in the Vanaprastha stage, the wife follows the husband. Similarly, when the spiritual master retires for Nirjan Bhajan, some of his advanced devotees follow him and engage in his personal service. In other words, those who are very fond of family life should come forward in the service of the spiritual master and abandon so-called happiness afforded by society, friendship, and love. A verse by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Gurvastika is significant in this regard. Yashya Prasad Bhagavad Prasada. A disciple should always remember that by serving the spiritual master, he can easily advance in Krishna consciousness. All the scriptures recommend that it is by pleasing the spiritual master and serving him directly that one can attain the highest perfectional stage of devotional service. The word Madhir Ekshana is also significant in this verse. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained in his Sandarbha that the word Madhira means intoxicating. If one's eyes become intoxicated upon seeing the deity, he may be called Madhir Ekshana. Queen Vidarbi's eyes were very enchanting. Just as one's eyes are Madhir Ekshana when engaged in seeing the temple deity. Unless one is an advanced devotee, he cannot fix his eyes on the deity in the temple. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaturvilitam Yema Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakaupatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Parevacha Patitanam Pavanidhyo Vaishnavidhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Narada Muni is speaking the allegorical story of Puranjan to King Prachini Barasha. And we heard already how Puranjan left his body and became a woman, became this Vidarbi, and she was married to this Maharaj Malayadvaja. Maharaj Malayadvaja is a great devotee, and following the ideal life. Good example. He's retiring after his family life, after having children and everything. He's retiring, taking vanaprastha. Not just simply sitting in the home to watch television and read the newspapers and wait for death to come. But he's getting out of the house. Very important to get out of the house. So he got out of the house, and his wife, this who was Puranjan in the previous life, she's following. This is a chaste wife. So Srila Prabhupada explains to us, this incident is related to the spiritual master and the disciple. The wife is just like the disciple of her husband. She has to serve her husband faithfully, and she should follow the husband where the husband goes. We see, for example, the five Pandavas. When after Lord Krishna left the world, the five Pandavas, when they got news, then they also retired from the world. And they didn't say anything to their wives, but the wives followed. The Pandavas left everything, went to the north, went to Himalayas, and their wives followed. So, the same way, spiritual master, at the end of life, he may accept Nirjana Bhajan, wants to go into some secluded place and just absorb himself in serving Krishna. This is the duty of the disciple. At some advanced senior disciples, they should follow and serve the spiritual master. This is a great fortune for them, that they can render service to the spiritual master. Mahat sevam dvaram mahurva muktes. By serving the Mahatmas, opens the doors to liberation. To be able to do some service for the devotees, that is our qualification for taking up devotional service. Now, those people who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and are free from sin, then they're eligible to take up devotional service. What is that piety? That piety is serving the devotees. So if one is fortunate enough to be able to render service to the spiritual master, it's for his eternal benefit. We should not think that the pure devotees, the spiritual masters, are dependent on our service, but it is a great fortune for us to be able to render some service. That service should also be pure service. We hear a lot about service. You know, nowadays most of the world is based on service. You get a job somewhere, so many jobs, it's all service industry. You know, you serve people. There's very few places where people, parts of the world where production is going on. You know, there's not so much, except when you go to China, a lot of factories there, so a lot of goods are produced there. But if you go to places like Hong Kong and Singapore and like that, it's much more service industry. Service industry, you know, cutting people's hair and, you know, skin and hair. You know, I walked into one place, where was it? I was in Hong Kong. I walked into this mall. I was trying to find one embassy to get my visa to go to Russia, and I had to go through this big shopping mall, and I was looking at all the shops. Nearly every shop was just doing this, either hair or skin, you know. This is the big business in the world, you know, in places like that. All the industry is there, catered, you know, taking care of people's hair and cutting it and styling it in different ways. And then their skin, you know, people, they spend so much money on their skin. You know, Prabhupada talks about skin disease. Boy. do they have skin? They will spend so much to buy these different creams and lotions and to go and get different treatments for their skin. They're so conscious. Their skin. Yeah. Very difficult to bring them to spiritual consciousness. They're so absorbed in this body. They spend so much. They work so hard, and whatever money they get, they'll use it to take care of the hair and the skin. Waste products of this body. Now, that kind of service, you know, that's not what we're talking about. Service, we're talking of service to the pure devotees, and that is helping them remember Krishna. We see the nice example, Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri was serving his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was leaving the body, and Ishwara Puri was taking care of him. In the old age, Madhavendra Puri was having, you know, he could not control properly the bodily motions, but Ishwara Puri was taking care of him, cleaning and taking care, and at the same time reminding him about Krishna, helping him to remember the pastimes of the Lord. Madhavendra Puri, such a great devotee. But even at the end of life, he also went through bodily difficulties. Don't think it won't happen to us. Don't think, you know, because we've been in Krishna consciousness a long time, that at the end of life it will be easy, we'll just leave suddenly. No guarantee. Some people are fortunate, most are not. They go through a lot of difficulty to give up this body. And we need help. So if one is fortunate enough to be able to serve the devotees at that time, especially the spiritual master, then it is a great blessing. And we see that Ishwara Puri, because he was serving his spiritual master so nicely, the result was that he became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he became the acharya in the whole Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. After Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri was the spirit, is the acharya in the parampara. This is the result. When you sacrifice everything for the service of Guru, Krishna appreciates that by serving the devotees, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. So Madhavendra Puri is Ishwara Puri is an example of a person who got the mercy of his spiritual master by service. Of course, Ishwara Puri was not desiring to be the acharya. He was not desiring to be the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Krishna arranged these things for him. But we see also the example of the person who didn't get the mercy of Guru, Ramachandra Puri. That Ramachandra Puri came to Jagannath Puri and Lord Chaitanya is there. Lord Chaitanya knew Ramachandra Puri is also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Chaitanya respected him like Ishwara Puri. He was a godbrother of Ishwara Puri. Lord Chaitanya respected him like his guru. Because Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri were god brothers. So Lord Chaitanya gave him all respect. And Ramachandra Puri criticized Lord Chaitanya. He said, look at this, ants running everywhere in your room. He said, before I had heard that you Gaudiya Vaishnavas eat too many sweets. Now I can see it must be true. If it's not true, why all these ants are running everywhere in your room? You must be keeping so many sweets and different prasadam here. So, this is not good. What kind of behavior is this? In this way, Ramachandra Puri was criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, then he reduced his eating by half. cut down all his prasadam. He told the devotees, don't bring me so much prasadam. I want to reduce the prasadam, my daily food by one half. Don't bring me so much prasadam. All the devotees were very hurt. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to observe some etiquette in dealing with Ramachandra Puri. So Ramachandra Puri, he had become a fault finder. Why did he become a fault finder? Because he was so foolish, he tried to instruct his own guru. Instead of serving his guru, he tried to instruct him. When Madhavendra Puri was leaving the world, Ramachandra Puri came there, and Madhavendra Puri was absorbed in the mood of ecstasy, feeling separation from the Lord. Aidina Dayadrahe, there's a famous verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is said, this verse, only three people understand the meaning of this verse. Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri, a very, very exalted devotee in the line of the disciplic succession, the seed for spontaneous love of God came in the Sampradaya from Madhavendra Puri. Lord Chaitanya had great love and respect for Madhavendra Puri, and his teachings are very important. So Madhavendra Puri was reciting this verse that the Lord of my life has left me. He was feeling separation, the mood is feeling some separation from Krishna. And when this Ramachandra Puri heard Madhavendra Puri say this verse, then he said, oh Guruji, why are you lamenting? He said, one who knows Brahman is joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. You should not lament, you should be joyful. If you're on the platform of Brahman, you should be a joyful soul. He could not understand the transcendental position of feeling love in separation from the Lord, which was being experienced by Madhavendra Puri. Ramachandra Puri was although he was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, he had fallen into bad association and he'd become infected with impersonalism and Mayavada philosophy, to the extent that he dared to instruct his guru in the impersonal philosophy, that you should feel more attached to the Brahman. Don't worry about somebody leaving you. Madhavendra Puri was very upset to hear his disciples speak like that. And he immediately chastised them and told them, get out from this place. If I have to see your face at the time of death, I will never achieve my desired destination. So this way, Ramachandra Puri did not get the mercy of his guru. And the result was, he became accustomed to fault finding. Wherever he went, he just found fault with people. And even he came to Puri and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he found fault with Lord Chaitanya. So these two examples are given. One who got the mercy, Ishwara Puri, and one who did not get the mercy of the Guru, Ramachandra Puri. Just what happens, you can see. So service is very important. And how we should serve is also very important. We are also in the service industry, right? We are all aspiring to be servants of the Lord. And how we should serve, what should be the nature of that service? Srimad Bhagavatam says, Savai Pumsam Parodharmo Yakto Bhaktirad Hoksaji Ahaitaki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. This service to the Supreme Lord, it's the supreme occupation for all humanity to attain. You know, you get a job in a multinational company, that is not the supreme occupation. That is not paradharma. You may be sitting in the air-conditioned office with a big computer, but that's not Param-Paradham. That's not the supreme occupation. But the supreme occupation is to serve the Supreme Lord. And that service to the Lord should be ahaitaki and apratiyatai, should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Unmotivated. We don't serve for what we're going to get. We're not thinking of what I will get in return. In the material world, you get a job, you have to ask them, how much are you going to pay me? Everything is based on that. What's the salary? What are the benefits you're going to give? Are you going to give me a car? Are you going to give me a house? You know, what are the hours I have to work? Do I have to be on call on the weekends? You want to know all these things. Are you going to call me in the middle of the night? You want to know all these things. You know, what's required for this job? But Krishna consciousness is ahaitaki. That we're unmotivated. Prabhupada says, service to Krishna means finish up our business. In the material world, everything is business. I'll give you this much, what did I get back? You have to make it worth my while. If you want me to be here, to serve here, you have to make it worth my while. People will say like that. But devotional service, unmotivated. We have no conditions. We will serve Krishna in any condition, in any situation. Devotional service is very special nature. We do not see it anywhere in the material world. It's a very different thing. People cannot understand why Hare Krishna devotees will work so many hours and go to so much effort to spread Krishna consciousness, distributing books for so many hours and years, and working so hard to raise funds, to build temples, and to go and preach to so many different places. People are just amazed. They cannot believe it. Even when they look at other religions, you know, when they look at other places, nobody else does it. Everywhere else, you know, they just sit around, they just sit back, they just want to be comfortable. So people think, they're always thinking, oh, you must be making something for yourself. They're thinking, you know, maybe we're putting it in our own pocket. They cannot understand. They're just so surprised that we're giving everything for Krishna. And still, we're so motivated that we try so hard to give everything for Krishna. That is the nature of service, devotional service. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. Yeah, we want to do it more and more. We don't think, oh, I need a day off, I need a break. Oh, I'm not going to come every day. I need to get a few days off a week. I need some time for myself. The more we become absorbed in Krishna service, the more we want to do. So this is the nature of devotional service. We're hearing about this. This wife of Malayadwaja is following her husband, leaving the home, leaving the family. You know, she's a woman, she's attached, but she's leaving. She's following her husband. The duty of the disciple to follow the spiritual master in just the same way. Without being worried about, oh, how will my family survive without me? Or who will take care of my children and everything? No. We have to understand the higher purpose, the spiritual purpose of life. So then the other example, the other part, main part in this verse is in relation to this daughter of Malayadwaja. The eyes of his wife, that they're described as being very enchanting. Very enchanting eyes. Yeah, because her eyes are attached to Krishna. We use the eyes to see the form of the Lord. This mandirekshana, Madeira, there was one girl, Prabhupada's disciple. She was the wife of Tejas Prabhu. Her name was Madeira. So here this word Madeira is given. Intoxicating. Intoxicating eyes, right? Why are her eyes intoxicating? Because she's seen the beauty of Krishna. There's that verse in the by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he's talking about Panchanga Bhakti, and he said, you know, one of the Panchanga Bhakti is to worship the deity. So Rupa Goswami says, don't look on the form of Govinda. Because if you look on the form of Govinda, then you will lose your interest in family, society, and friends. Anyone who sees the beauty of Krishna playing on the flute, standing in the threefold bending form on the banks of Keshigat, his lips brightened by the moonlight. It's so enchanting that once you see this beauty of Krishna, you have no interest anymore in the material world. So, don't look. Right? This is Rupa Goswami's nice example given. Of course, he wants us to look, but he's telling us how powerful when you actually see the form of Govinda. You know, if you really see, then you can never enjoy the material world again. There's a nice example. The pastime is also there in relation to Ramanujacharya, that he was going with his disciples one day in the street, and they saw one young couple, man and woman, and this man was totally fascinated, absorbed in this young woman who was with him. You know, and he was just looking in her eyes all the time, and this is South India, you know, in the time of Ramanuja, so people were very conservative. And Ramanuja Acharya is coming with the disciples, and they all said, oh, look at this. This is disgusting. How disgraceful. Just look at this man. He's so lusty. Look at it properly. He said, how he could behave like this in public, sitting out there with his wife, looking in her eyes like that in front of everybody in the street. This is terrible. And Ramanujacharya came and talked to the man and said, you know what's up? What's going on? You're behaving like this? He said, my wife, she's got such beautiful eyes. I'm so enchanted by her eyes. I can't take my eyes off her. And so he said, come with us. Ramanuja said, you come with us. Just come with us for some time. And they brought the man and woman, they brought them to see Lord Ranganath. Right? And when they opened the curtain of the deity and they saw Lord Ranganath, then the man saw the eyes of Lord Ranganath. Then he understood what was real beauty. You know, the so-called beauty of the material world is just illusion. But the real beauty is there in the transcendental form of the Lord. So that man and woman, they became very staunch followers of Ramanujacharya. They became his very good disciples and became totally detached from all their material pleasures just by seeing the eyes of the deity. So we have to cultivate this ability. Prabhupada says, one has to be an advanced devotee to fix the eyes on the form of the deity. It is not so easy thing. We have to see the deity in the proper way. Acharya Vishnu Shiladir Guru Shu Narmat Vaishnave Jatir Buddhi. If one looks at the deity, and if we think the deity is simply a statue, then that person is a resident in hell. We have to see the deity in the proper way, that we're not just looking at some statue, But when one actually looks at the deity, he's actually seeing the Lord. He's actually seeing Krishna in person, none different. So we have to develop that consciousness. We have to purify ourselves through the medium of service. By the medium of service, our senses become purified. We cannot see the deity with our material eyes. Just as you cannot go to the holy place by simply purchasing a ticket, you have to change your consciousness to enter into the holy place. In the same way, to actually see the deity, we have to see with the pure heart. And that is achieved simply by through service. The more we do service, the more we develop that mood of being the servant, an unconditional, fully surrendered servant of the Lord. Then the more we become qualified to see the deity. That is real intoxication. There's now in India we see so many clubs and bars are there. People are getting their intoxication from beer and some other things. But actually, the highest intoxication is there in Krishna consciousness. When Prabhupada went to the West, there were many young people, they were calling themselves hippies. And they would take intoxication, and they would talk about being intoxicated. They would say, this is, I'm high. They would think, my consciousness is higher than everybody else. I'm high when they're intoxicated. So the devotees, they printed something and said, chant Hare Krishna and stay high forever. Because these people, they would become intoxicated, they would become high, but their high would not last very long. Like quickly they would become low. Just like people become intoxicated, and then the next morning they have a hangover and headache and so many other problems. So chanting Hare Krishna, they can stay high forever. They can have the highest intoxication through devotional service. So this is the idea. We want to develop this mood. We want to all become intoxicated in Krishna consciousness. So now the altar is being more and more beautified. We should all become more and more intoxicated, seeing the form of the deities, right? With our big crew of pujaris and cooks and everything, everyone, we can easily, of course, we easily get intoxicated on Mahaprasadam. That's one intoxication we've all quite familiar with. Too many gulab jamuns and sweet balls and things. That intoxication is there. But we want to get intoxicated simply seeing the deity, chanting the holy name. We should become more and more intoxicated on these things. So we just pray that we can develop this taste for the holy name and for devotional service, that we will become more and more intoxicated. People have so many problems with intoxication, with trying to give up, they become alcoholics. We get addicted, spend all their money on it. So this is pure intoxication, devotional service. If we become intoxicated in love of God, then this is for our ultimate liberation from this material world. Lord Chaitanya was always intoxicated. Krishna Prem, Madhavendra Puri was intoxicated. So this is the line in our discipline succession. So many intoxicated devotees are there. So many great souls, pure souls, all intoxicated in love of God. This is prema bhakti. Prema punato manam. The goal of life is to develop love of God. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to distribute Krishna prema. We also want to receive this Krishna prema. We're following the line of Mahaprabhu, follow his instructions, then we should also taste something of Krishna prema. And as we get that taste, the more we get that taste of Krishna, love of Krishna, then the less we have taste of the material world. Just as a hungry person, when he eats food, then he feels satisfaction, he feels relief from hunger, he feels strength and nourishment. These things all follow one after another as he goes on eating food. In the same way, when we perform devotional service, in the course of our devotional service, we should also feel detachment from material existence. We should no longer be attached to the things of this material world. We become so absorbed in our service to Krishna that we have nothing to draw us in this material world again. We lose our interest in this material world. You no longer care what's happening in the cricket matches, or what's going on in the politics or the stock market or anything like that. I have no interest in these things. You're just thinking only Krishna and Krishna's service. You become detached from the material world. And as we go on serving Krishna, then we awaken more and more transcendental knowledge. It comes in the heart through devotional service. Tesham satita yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti. To those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they may come to me. Srila Prabhupada describes how there is communication in the heart between the Lord and his pure devotees. We often get people, I'm sure you get them here in India, we get them even in China. People say, Krishna talked to me, he told me to write this book, he told me to do this and like that. So Prabhupada said, who does Krishna talk to? Does he just talk to anybody? Krishna says what kind of people he talks to. To those people who are constantly devoted to him and worship him with love, he talks to those people. He doesn't talk to any fool or any mad woman or things like that. But this is what happened. You often get these kind of people. Some foolish person, some mad woman, they're saying, Krishna spoke to me, Krishna told me to do this, Krishna told me to write this book. And you get all kinds of nonsense. And foolish people accept it. Foolish people even believe it. They think, oh yeah, Krishna spoke to her, Krishna told her. And they all start worshipping her and they become her disciples. This is Kali Yuga, very common thing, and happens here and it happens in other countries as well, not only here, everywhere, the cheaters and the cheated. So we have to be aware of these things, we have to preach about these things, we have to enlighten people and guide them so they do not get cheated. Okay, any question, comments? Yes, Prabhu. Mahatam, Prabhu.
We are doing service still we have all fighting mentality. So many times I have seen I'm doing service but still there is a mentality to find faults. So sometimes it's very difficult to convince the mind and remove that fault, like that tendency. So how does it come?
Well, if you know you have that tendency, you have to be careful, you have to curb that. Instead of finding fault with people, you have to praise them. Instead of seeing what they've not done, see what they've done. You have to glorify them. Thank them very much for their service. The business of finding fault is actually, that's the job of the spiritual master. Spiritual master's duty is to find fault. The father, his duty is to find fault with the son. Nilambar Chakra, Jagannath Mishra was always finding fault with Lord Chaitanya, even in his dream. The Brahmana came and said, you know, you should not speak to your son like that. You do not know who your son is. But Jagannath Mishra would say, but he's my son. I'm his father. It's my duty to find fault. So Prabhupada also told us, or maybe he was telling Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, used to say, because I am honeycombed with defects, therefore I see defects in others. So you can also say like that, if sometimes you find fault with them, you could tell them that because I am full of defects myself, therefore I'm seeing defects in yours. So don't mind it. Don't take it in a bad way. You have to try to speak the truth, but at the same time make it palatable. Prabhupada used that. What is it? Satyam Bruyat?
Priyam Bruyat. Priyam Bruyat. Priyam Bruyat.
Satyam Bruyat. Priyam Bruyat. Yeah. Speak the truth, but at the same time try to make it palatable. Now, but Prabhupada also says for preaching, sometimes in the course of preaching, we will criticize. We will find fault in our preaching. But you don't want to be fault-finding too much with the devotees. You have to be careful in dealing with devotees, that you want to encourage people, that they're doing some service. They're doing it without any thought of remuneration. They're not thinking what I'm getting from it. So we should try to appreciate what is being offered, what service people are doing, that they're making some sacrifice to come and do some service. So try to appreciate and try to encourage them. If we just simply all the time criticize them and find fault, then they'll think, okay, I'm not going to do anymore, you know. They will want to give up. So you have to judge by the results. If the effect of your words is to discourage people, that they want to give up service, this is not good. And you have to try to speak in a way in which we can encourage people that they want to do service more. So, this is an art. You have to cultivate this. You're learning. You're still young. Will take you some time, but you have to try. Be critical on yourself and merciful on others. See the good in others and see the faults in yourself. And in this way, try to encourage the others in their service. Don't just only find fault. Oh, this is not being done, that is not being done. You know, see what they're doing. And at the same time, try to encourage them also to go on and do more. So, you have to cultivate this. This is a very important art. As a devotee, you're working with so many other congregational devotees. You're the full-time devotee in saffron and everything, with a shaved head. So they respect you. So you have to be also kind to them. You have to give them shelter and encourage them. And try to encourage them to do more and more. You don't want to all the time be critical, yelling, shouting at them, getting angry at them. This would not be good. We have to encourage them and inspire them that they want to help you, they want to do things. So we have to pray to Krishna to help me, give us the intelligence to do this. Try to make friends. It's easy to make enemies. You have to make friends, right? People come to Krishna consciousness, they are friends. We should have friendly dealings with them. Give them prasadam, offer gifts and charity like this. This is loving exchange. And in this way you encourage them to do more service. But if all the time you yell at them, shout at them, you know, this, you know, you haven't done this, this is not done, this is not good, then, you know, they'll get discouraged. So we want to encourage them. At the same time, we want them to do better and better. So it's a challenge, it's a challenge. You have to try. Prabhu.
Maharaj, many times, personally, before taking any, where we have the service, where we are in a service to take certain decisions, because we have some service for other people. And while taking decisions, not clear with the whether my motivations are wrong or right, and become fearful if the motivation seems to be wrong, and the action stops. If the motivations are detected wrong, then there is a fear in the heart to go further, and sometimes not clear whether the motivations are pure or impure. Then how to act when we are not clear with our motivations? How to go ahead?
Then you have to check with other devotees. You have to consult with other senior Vaishnavas and confer with them and get their opinions. You don't have to always make the decision on your own. You don't always have to just use your own judgment. Don't be afraid to turn to other people and ask for their opinions and their advice. You will see this with different managers in our movement from time to time, you know, they will seek the help, they will ask other people, what do you think? I remember when I was traveling in China and Tamal Krishna Goswami was with us there in China, and Shivaram Swami was away over in England, and he called up Tamal Krishna Maharaj just to get his opinion, to get his advice about something, you know, because he valued, you know, senior devotees. Advice. Shivaram Swami wanted to hear from Tamal Krishna Maharaj what he thought. So he tracked him down to some place in China and called him up and asked him. So like that, you know, you have to be. Don't think, you know, I'm an island. I know, I don't need to go to anybody else. We should always be willing to go to others, and we should have other people. There should be other Vaishnavas who you can go to and you can check with, and you can consult with them and get their advice and opinion. It's very important. Don't try to be independent and make decisions on your own, and you get trouble. It's always good to check with other people, what do you think? Then you're safe. But if you try to make the decisions on your own and it goes wrong, then you know it could get big problems. Yes, Prabhu?
Maharaj, by taking the direction, what should we ask more so that Krishna is pleased?
How we should see the deity, first of all, you know, when we look at the deity, we look first of all down at the feet of the Lord and gradually look up to the smiling face of the Lord. We should offer prayers. We have so many nice prayers.
Decisions.
Mood. In taking darshan. When you have darshan, what should be the mood? Yeah. Like that, we want to see the Lord in the mood of devotion, and surrender. So we first of all, we offer our full obeisances, we recite spiritual master's pranam mantra, and then we gradually raise up and we look first at the feet of the Lord and gradually look up to the face of the Lord, and we can recite prayers also. Very nice. And you can bring offering for the Lord. You know, when in the beginning of the movement, the devotees used to bring a little piece of rice. They kept a big sack of rice outside the temple, and they would carry a handful of rice in every time, and they would offer it to the deity. You know, they just thought that this is how they should do it, you know. That they wanted to bring some offering to the deity, so they kept a big sack of rice, and every time they came in the temple room, they took a handful of rice, they bring it in and put it in front of them. We don't do that anymore. But the idea is, you come to see the Lord, we're supposed to offer something to Him. So what do you have to offer to the Lord? You can offer body, mind and words. Right? When we offer our obeisances to the Lord, we offer obeisances with the body. Okay, we can use the body. We fall down, we offer obeisances. Then mind, the mind should also be absorbed in thinking, I'm coming to see the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. How fortunate I am. And we should then use also words to glorify the Lord. Reciting some prayers. We put the Govinda prayers. You can recite some of these prayers from Brahma Samhita, or you can select other nice verses. So many prayers are there from Srimad Bhagavatam. But like that, this is how we can have better consciousness coming to see the Lord. Too often we come in, we quickly, you know, bow through the... you don't even give full obeisances, and we hardly say any word, we get up, you know. So, consciousness, be conscious. We're coming to see the Lord, and we should have that mood of being the servant. So, body, mind and words in His service. So with the new altar and the new Singhasan, you know, everyone will become awestruck and will don't become inspired and intoxicated with the opulence. Prabhupada actually said, we worship the deity in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Although it's Radha and Krishna, we worship them more in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. People can appreciate more. If we were worshipping more in the Vrindavan mood, very simple, then difficult for people to appreciate. But the more opulence, the more grand, then the more inspired we will be to feel the mood of this mood of devotion. Any other question? Prabhupada?
In the purport, Prabhupada writes that one should directly serve his spiritual master. So, what is?
Well, directly, Prabhupada is saying certainly if you get the chance to give direct service to the spiritual master, very fortunate. That means, you know, you're actually there with him personally, that you can be. Provide, you know, spiritual master may want you to bring him water, may want you to wash his clothes. You can just simply be with him, helping him as he walks or as he wants to move or to bring him different things, whatever he requires, you can be there giving direct service. Srila Prabhupada only had a very few devotees engaged in his direct service. Most of us, we were all serving Prabhupada indirectly. You know, generally there were a few very big devotees, very heavy devotees, and you know, the little guys, you know, we had to keep back, you know. Keep out of the way, you know.
Don't trouble Prabhupada.
But then, just at the, on the, like the last day, when Prabhupada was leaving the world almost, you then kind of like, then the doors opened and everybody could come, and everybody, just before Prabhupada left, and everybody who was there got a chance to serve, to be there, or to be with Prabhupada. But generally, you know, it's not so easy to get that direct contact with the spiritual master. Some people took the opportunity to ask for direct instructions. They wrote to Prabhupada, they had some idea, some plan, what they wanted to do. They wrote to Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, will be okay, I can do this, like that. And Prabhupada would either sanction it or give some other instruction. So, what to do? Like, I was in the situation after Prabhupada left the world. You know, I didn't have any instruction. I'd never given any direct service to Prabhupada. And there my spiritual master has left the world. So what to do in the absence of the spiritual master if you're in that situation? So I considered, you know, what I should do is surrender, take shelter of another devotee, senior Vaishnava, somebody who knew Prabhupada and who served Prabhupada and tried to serve him. So I took shelter of Tamal Krishna Goswami and I served him in his China mission. And after he left the world, then, you know, I took advantage of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. I was also going to Malaysia where he preaches, and I was fortunate to get some little association with him there and know him a bit better, and also Mayapur Dham. But it's very important, you know, to always take advantage of the senior Vaishnavas. If you don't have that opportunity to be directly connected with the spiritual master, then associate with those people who do and serve them. And Prabhupada also encouraged like that. You know, sometimes people would come and they would say to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to come and travel with you. Wherever you go in the world, I will come with you. I've got money of my own, I'll just come and travel with you. And Prabhupada would say, you go with him and serve him. And Prabhupada would give him to some sannyasi or some GBC and tell them, you go with him and travel with him. In other words, you know, Prabhupada didn't particularly want everybody just with him, traveling with him. He wanted to see us doing something substantial, engaged in some steady service for a very small number of very well qualified, personally qualified people. They could be engaged in the direct service. But for most people, you know, we have to be engaged in steady service somewhere in one of the centers. The service may not be direct, but it can also be accepted by the spiritual master. Certainly, there's no difference. Prabhupada said, of the two, there are two ways to associate with Guru, Vani and Vapu. And of the two, Vani is more important than Vapu. But he said, those who get to serve the Vapu were very fortunate. But to serve the Vani, that is eternal. So we can all serve Prabhupada today by serving Prabhupada's mission. What is the manifestation of Prabhupada's mission? That is here in the ISKCON society. When you serve in this ISKCON institution, that is service to Srila Prabhupada. And that is appreciated by Srila Prabhupada. When you distribute Prabhupada's books, when you help Prabhupada's temples do some service in the temples, it is also service to Prabhupada. It is also appreciated. Don't think that, oh, this is not direct service. this also can also be direct. It's up to our consciousness. And you have that consciousness that you're doing this for Prabhupada. You're doing this for the spiritual master. The spiritual master may not be close with us, but we can serve in separation. Just as the Goswamis serve Krishna in separation, we can also serve the spiritual master in separation by serving his instructions. And his instructions are there. You read his books, instructions are there. Prabhupada gave instructions to many people, but not everyone followed Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada had different things he wanted done. Sometimes he asked people to do it and they didn't do it. But somebody else will come afterwards and they read, oh, Prabhupada told this devotee to do that. That devotee went away, he's not even a devotee anymore. Maybe I could do this for Prabhupada. So there are many devotees who serve Prabhupada in that way. They study Prabhupada's instructions, they read Prabhupada's letters and books, and they get inspired to do a particular service for Prabhupada. And they take up that service. That is also service to Guru. That is also direct service. So we should not feel discouraged. You should not feel that you have to go personally be there as a servant all the time. Of course, somebody should be there. You know, somebody has, not that everybody's away distributing books and preaching, and nobody's there taking care. Somebody should also be there. Okay, Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.